Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 150, part 1, I Am Justified. Today is Friday, June 4th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota because we have no boundaries. It's located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota and you need food, and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also join the online community at the top of the homepage at www.pastorpaul.org. You're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, Life Vantage, YouTube, and Twitter. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or give a testimony at the blog. There you're going to find interactive links to scriptures within Pastor Paul's messages. You can also email me, janine@pastorpaul.org. Now here's a lineup for the month of June. These are the podcasts. I Am Justified, Forgiveness and Condemnation Can't Mix, Lights in Dark Places, Your Business or His Business. Thank you for joining the podcast, and be sure to join us each week, Friday for part one, Sunday for part two, and the conclusion of Pastor Paul's weekly podcasts. Have a great month of June, and God bless you.
And today's message is entitled, I Am Justified. In this age of darkness and in this age of confusion, and there's a lot of that going around, our lights must not only shine, but they should boldly shine. We need to be stationary lights. You know what a stationary light is? It's a light that doesn't move all over. It's a light that doesn't get out of its prepared socket and wander over someplace on self-contained batteries. And then it wanders over and the batteries wear down. It has to be plugged in. It has to be a bold, stationary light. By the way, I don't think we should have on and off switches either. So we can turn it on, turn it off, turn it on, and like that. See, but don't be a turn on, turn off Christian. But let me today very briefly outline Romans. Paul, of the 21 epistles, wrote 13. Romans, of course, was one of them. He says he was born in Tarsus, a pure Jew, taught under Gamaliel, the greatest teacher of the Pharisees. He was, it says, a tent maker by trade. Are you hearing this? Because this is the foreground of what I'm going to be talking about. He also was present at the stoning of Stephen. And it goes on to tell us that the Holy Spirit used him after his conversion to preach what? The gospel. Now here is a man, a very learned Jew, a Pharisee, one who knew the law, the very letter of the law, knew it very well, and who was picked to preach grace. Sometimes you have to know the other kind of hell to give people heaven. Sometimes you have to be sort of a legalist. All of my life, before that I was saved, I was sort of guilt-ridden all the time. And I always had laws on myself. Don't do this. Don't. Of course, I did them. And I did them with fervor, but after I did broke every rule there was, I would always have this tremendous guilt and this frustration and a wanting to get out of this whole thing. And I think that's where Paul was, a very learned Jew who knew the law, who lived under the law, but yet was picked to preach grace because then he knew where to come from. I think that he was very wonderfully qualified, a Roman citizen, a Greek educator, and it says he was out of the Hebrew religion. He fulfilled his anointed apostleship direct from Jesus Christ. Finally, it says he was beheaded in Rome. I had a message some years back called Come Before Winter, and it was talking about Timothy. And Timothy didn't make it there on time. Paul was beheaded. He said, come before winter. And I think we ought to all come before winter. Well, anyway, Paul, the servant, is separate under the Gospels in Romans 1 and 1, serving the Gospels under Romans 1 and 9, saved by the Gospel under Romans 1 and 16, and in Romans 1 and 14 through 16, he says, I am a debtor. I am ready to fulfill my obligation in 1 and 15. I am not ashamed of the message in Romans 1 and 16. So here we have, and I'm going to try to give you Romans in a nutshell. The person of the gospel, Jesus Christ. The power of the gospel, and the power of the gospel, the power of God. And the purpose of the gospel unto salvation. The people to whom the gospel was sent, to everyone. To everyone, come to whomsoever will come, the Bible says. The plan of acceptance to everyone that believeth. That's what gives it its power. To everyone that believeth. And now I should say that particular result, the just shall live by faith. Isn't that good news? Isn't this the wonderful gospel? Jesus Christ's righteousness, it's saying, is ours. Now, maybe you're here today and you're not feeling like you're too righteous. Well, you're not. But the righteousness of Jesus Christ makes you righteous. Now, I have to say this, and probably have to preach this a dozen more times in a year because we need to hear it. Justification means a man made righteous before God. That means the moment that you receive Jesus Christ, you are made righteous. Now, you can't be unmade. You can suffer consequences for your choices, but you cannot be unborn again, is what it's saying. Well, I heard a person say, how can I be justified? By grace. Romans 3 and 24. The source of it, grace means unmerited favor. That means you don't deserve one single solitary thing. But love, unconditional, says, I'm going to give you unconditional love. You can't merit it. You can't earn it. You can't work for it, you can't buy it, but I'm going to give it to you. All you have to do is believe for it, and I'm going to give you Christ, the person of the gospel. I'm going to give you the power of God, the power of the gospel. I'm going to give you the purpose of the gospel, and that's unto salvation, and it's for everyone. Sometimes we get saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, and we look out there and we think, well, the gospel can't reach this person. That's not true. See, it's to everyone. A lot of times, well, this person cannot be redeemed. This person cannot come in. Let me tell you, by God, he is the giver in Romans 3 and 26 and 8 and 33. By blood, the reason for it in Romans 3 and 24 and 5 and 9. By faith, the means by which it is received in Romans 3 and 22. By works, the way it is shown in James 2 and 21 and 23, by experience, the blessings that we enjoy from it. 5, 1 through 4. There is a blessing in the gospel. So now let us enter in today. Romans 3 and 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Now listen to that again. Being justified, but not just justified, being justified freely. Being justified freely, and listen now, by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. See, that leaves all the guesswork out of it. And when we can get saturated in the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can go on. Oh, I just have to look back at the hill and say, what a comfort in Calvary's hill. What a house of comfort built upon the cross. At the very darkest hour in history was born a new age. And it's here right now. It's called the Grace Age. It is an age of grace. It is an age of God looking out there and finding giving people unmerited favor, saying, yes, I'll save you. Just simply believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I know that we have our days of woe. We have our days of trouble. But when we see the finished work, when we see Jesus Christ doing a finished work, it sort of takes and causes the moans and the groans and the woes to go down a little bit, doesn't it? Doesn't our bitternesses, don't they seem to get diminished and get a little lower? And so today, let's look at three things. The redemption of Jesus Christ, the justification of sinners flowing from it, the manner in which it is given by justification freely by his grace. So number one, we have the redemption that is in our Jesus Christ. Example, here we are, we're a prisoner of Satan, slaves who are found guilty. Are you hearing this? By the fall of Adam, God cannot approach us. Said, I can't come anywhere. Now we need a ransom. We are as poor, I think, as the church mice here on the north side. We are bankrupt debtors. We have no credit. The execution was put into our house. We have already been sold. We are left naked, the Bible says, and poor and miserable and wretched. No one can ransom us. But there is one. Jesus Christ steps in, walks into the prison. You have a prisoner here named Paul. And he has called upon my name in a time of trouble, and I am going to answer. And he has admitted he is a sinner. He admits that he needs help. And I, Jesus Christ, am his sponsor. Loose him, and loose him now. Come, Paul. And I stand there in a little bit of unbelief. Yes, you. Come on, come on. Come out from under the law and go your way. Clean and free and justified by the blood. Now, I know, but I'll have to preach this again, see, because it doesn't sink in. We'll get on a guilt trip again and go off floating off someplace. You'll just get yourself all guilty and all bound up, and you'll have to preach justification. You have to get into it. You are justified. You are made justified. You have to preach it over and over and over again. But see, what I'm preaching here is justification by the blood of Jesus Christ. So now let's look at some of the qualities of the redemption that are in Christ Jesus. He saved a multitude, the Bible says. More than all the stars. Now, we're talking about a lot of people. We're talking about multitudes. We're talking now again, we're getting a little deeper here. We're getting into predestination. I knew you before the foundation of the world was even founded. Don't try to figure it out. Just accept it. Now, how are you saved? By just accepting it. Isn't it funny? That after we get saved by just accepting, that someone else comes along and then we take all the things we went through after we were saved, pick up a little legal case full of all kinds of legalism and doctrine and say, well, now, what you have to do to be saved is keep all of what I found out in here and keep all these rules and regulations. I got it all written down. And then you'll be saved. No. You receive Jesus Christ. He set you free. The blood set you free. You're washed of your sins forever. You'll never be judged for your sins ever again. Now remember that you're a vessel of sin, somewhat. Your flesh. You're holding Jesus Christ, but your flesh is permeated, loves to, runs to, is eager to run towards sin. So it says, don't follow after the flesh, follow after the Spirit. Sometimes, though, in our minds and in our attitudes, we go after the things of the flesh. Are we covered? You most certainly are. Getting kind of quiet in here. Don't you want to be covered? Kind of weak amens. That ain't too heavy. I mean, you should be so glad because you're sitting there with all kinds of attitudes. And a lot of times we're all frustrated and we think we're up, we're down, we've fallen, we haven't served God, we haven't done it. It doesn't depend on that. Now, I think you should give a good loud amen to the Lord because he did it all. Now say amen and say it loud.
Amen.
My God, you're going to go to heaven whether you know. Come on. That's better. Sometimes we're afraid to say amen. We might sin. Amen. The devil standing over here. Here's Jesus Christ. He's done the completed work. Huh? You look over at Satan. You look at yourself. You look at other people. You start to look around. You start to get fearful. You start to get, amen. I think. You know, you're worse off after you're saved if you believe like that. Did you know that? To have something and not to use it, that's a type of hell. To have freedom and mercy and forgiveness and not really know it, what a bondage. What a terrible, terrible joke on you. And Satan sits there laughing. Won't do him any good. He don't know how to use it. That's like a soldier takes out a gun, picks it up backwards. Huh? No, you have the weapons right here. You have the redemption right here. There's nothing you can do about it. Come on out, Paul. Whew. Now, let's go on concerning the ransom. Let's get a little deeper into it. It was all paid. All paid, and all paid all at once. Well, don't I have to pay a little bit? Shouldn't I pay? No. It's a completed work already. Don't you see it? All paid all at once for all. For all who believe. I don't know about that. Now, how many in here are glad that it's all paid all at once, once and for all? Say amen.
Amen.
Very puny. Well, that was pretty good. Okay, now a good loud amen.
Amen.
See, you're going to need this message tomorrow. You know why? Because in your own mind, you're going to fall again. And you're going to go wimping around. Well, I don't know. And then somebody legal is going to come along, brother, and they're going to lay that long, skinny legal finger on you, and they're full of sin themselves. And you're going to fall for it, and you're going to go on trying to save yourself, and no one will, you'll be a poor witness. And you'll go up to someone, and you'll say, are you born again? And they'll say, well, I don't know. Well, how do you get born again? Well, you receive Jesus Christ. Well, of course, there's a few regulations and rules. And you start to take out one of these things out of your billfold, sort of like pictures of your kids, you know, boring to other people. Other people don't care about your kids, let's face it. I mean, you pull all these, and you got grandpa, and you got all these different pictures and all these different rules and everything in there. Oh, but here's a few things I learned in staying saved. Well, who's going to come in under that? They're going to say, man, who wants to be miserable like you? I got enough troubles right now. I don't need a whole big set of rules again. I can't do it. Feed, fella. Later for you. Paid, and all paid, all at once, once and for all. I'm talking about a redemption that was very thorough. Don't you think that God is thorough? Do you think he forgot something? Oops. Oh, I better hurry up, put a bylaw in there. You're not under law. He'll put a by grace in there. He'll give you more grace. He won't give you more law because it says grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. He'll always give you more grace. He'll give you more grace to overcome whatever you're in. Just ask for more grace. It says there is an abundant grace. So here we are. Jesus Christ paid the price in his blood. How much do you think that's worth? And again, it gets real quiet. Because see, there is no price that you can put on the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the most powerful, the most wonderful, the most unexplainable, beautiful, the greatest thing that ever happened, the blood of Jesus Christ that covers all sins, that takes people to heaven. Can you put a price on it? It's complete. Now, there's no installment plans. You don't care how to tear out a coupon. Oh, boy, I better watch it. I'm down to about 3 coupons here. Man, I don't know if I'll make it. I'm only like 30 years old. I mean, one every 10 years, a redemption coupon? No. The blood does it. You don't carry any coupons along with you. Do you think that it's how much scripture you know that's going to get you to heaven? Now, learn all the scripture you can. Do you think it's how many prayers you say? Listen, Catholicism, it isn't how many Hail Marys you say. Come on. It isn't how many times that you say, praise the Lord. It isn't how many grocery bags you pack here at the mission. It isn't how many times you smile at a stranger. It has nothing to do with it. No, Jesus chose you before the foundation of the world was even founded. There are people out there that are going to church, not going to church, that know that they're saved. There are people sitting in church that don't know that. They don't have that blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. No installment. It's not like an erector set. You don't piece it together and erect your own salvation. No. It's not building up a personality or building up, like we said, it's not building up a reputation. Because a reputation is London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. The blocks of your reputation. Dun, 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 dun. No, I'd rather have character than have a reputation. Jesus was a man of no reputation. Every time he'd get one, someone would take it away. Are you hearing this? No, it doesn't need a reputation. Oh, you got a wonderful reputation. You're for sure going to... I've heard people say that. It makes me kind of quiver. Pastor Paul, you're for sure going to go to heaven. Look what you're doing. I said, well, that ain't got a thing to do with it. Because let me be truthful with you, half the time I don't even want to do it. Better tell the truth. Oh, but you're always so jovial and smiley and full of life and everything and so on like that. And inside I'm saying, grr, grr. Of course, I get out of it. You know how I get out of it? By the grace of God. God, take these grr, grrs from me. God, help me to want to really do this thing. Oh, let it be your will, and let me be happy doing your will. And then I do it. Is that too honest? I better be honest before God. God's the one that's going to judge me. Say amen. See, it's just being honest before the Lord, right? See, it's not a do-it-yourself. It's a complete, perfect payment. Paid in full and written with the blood. Do you think that Satan dares approach that wonderful salvation and says it's of none effect? No, it says when he gets near, he starts to tremble. I know the devil trembles before I got saved. All my in-laws were after me. Whenever I got next to him, I start trembling. Did you ever try not to tremble? You know what? That was Satan. He didn't want me to get saved. Ooh, I know he shakes. Isn't there a song like that? Shake, baby, shake. I was shaking. I don't know if that's the truth. But you don't have to shake no more once you have the Lord. Oh, you might quiver once in a while. You might get a little bit nervous. And I'm talking about shaking until you almost feel like your bones is aching. You're going to fall apart. That kind of shaking. That kind of fear. That kind of gulping like you got four Adam's apples trying to crowd past each other getting down when you gulp. We don't have to go through on-the-job training to receive salvation. Know what I mean by on-the-job training? Okay, get your uniform. How many been in the Army? And you go through and they buzz all your hair off. You know, well, never mind now. And they buzz all your hair off and you go through and they give you this outfit. Now, this is the way it used to be. Now they probably got form fits. I don't know. But anyway, you go through the line here and they give you these and give you these, and you put them on. When I got in the Army, I only weighed about 120 pounds. I got in there and everything was too big. Looked like the hungry wolf. Had to take a rope and tie it around there, you know. All hair and nose. But I got the outfit, and then I had to work it out, and I had to prove myself. You don't have to do that when you go to the Lord. No, it's rich, and He gives you the. Now, if you want artillery, He'll give you the salvation. You want artillery? You know what the artillery is? That's a baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's a fully automatic weapon. The devil starts throwing darts at you. You got one of these machine gun dart machines. You just turn around. What's this? Say amen, somebody. But from the cross, he said, "It is done. It is done." Now, when God says it's done, who are we to argue with him? It's done. Now, this is God. I mean, everything shook when he gave up his spirit. Graves were opened. Still people didn't believe. They were seen walking the streets. And even the centurion says, surely this was the Son of God. But do we believe? How many in here believe when God said, it is done, that it's done? Say amen. Unbelievable. Say amen. I mean, that encourages the Lord to say, well, scratch, scratch of the head. Amen. I guess it's true. There's some scripture to back it, I guess. But from the cross, he said, it is done. I have taken away the handwriting of ordinances. I don't erase them. They are done away with. They are become old. Behold, I do a new thing. I'll write it upon the tables of your heart. Now put them in your mind. In fact, I'll give you a new mind. I have taken away the handwriting of the ordinances. I have nailed it to the cross. And what does that mean? That means that no one is to charge them. No one can charge you with anything. I have blotted out their plural, and then plural again, sins. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Sins, plural? Does that mean past, present, and future? How many of you in here are glad that your past sins are forgiven? No, I certainly am. And yet your present sins are forgiven. You probably sinned since you came in here. In fact, if we put bells on everybody's heads every time they sin, we couldn't even hear me preach. See, that's our nature. Oh, there she is again. Why didn't she fix her hair different? What a frumpy-looking little woman. Things like that. Maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking about someone that misused you. Oh, God, save that person. Fire down on him. You know how he misused me, Lord. Ooh. Huh? I hit somebody on the radio there. I feel it. So wait a few minutes until it goes back on again. I don't want to miss this. Oh, there it's on again. Thank you. But from the cross, he says, it is done. I have taken away the handwriting of the ordinances. I have nailed it to the cross, and no one is to charge them. I have blotted out, plural, their sins. And also, you'll notice he did it all by himself. I think that he was very particular about that. Simon, of course, could carry the cross, but he wasn't nailed to it. Then it says there were two thieves on either side of him. So people couldn't say that two righteous people talked to him and helped him and guided him into heaven. No, they were two thieves, robbers, murderers. Today you're going to meet me in heaven because you believed. Well, you mean we don't have to go a home improvement plan, or shouldn't we do something? What are the bylaws? Is there any doctrines? Or should we be baptized in water? Or what should we do? Or what? No, today, because you believed. Yeah, he's very particular about that. He did it all by himself. And he even struggled in the garden. Let this cup pass from me. Oh, I've said that about different things that I've had to drink. Oh, God, do I have to drink this cup? But you see, his love for people was so strong, he took the cup with both hands and he drank damnation dry. And oh, what a bitter cup that was! What was it? He swallowed every sin. A cup of unimaginable sin. He drank it all. He endured it all. He suffered it all. And so that forever, ever, evermore, hellfire will never meet you. You never have to worry about hellfire. You never have to worry about it again. Well, maybe sometimes you don't even think about hellfire. Hey, let me tell you something. Be thankful for God. Let me tell you something, because you could die tonight. No, I've been feeling great. Isn't it funny? You ever notice when people are feeling, well, I just seen him this morning. He says, this is the best I've ever felt in my whole life. I heard him say it. And he was looking so great. I can't understand it. You mean he really is dead? Really. Funeral is in a couple of days. You're invited. Don't get too comfortable in your skin. Hey, don't get too comfortable. You could leave today. You could drop dead right in here. Now, I'm not trying to put fear on you, but maybe you'll praise God for it. Say, come get me quickly. Don't waste time. Are you hearing this? Not me, I'm as strong as a bull. Hey, bulls go down. Maybe you're particular matadors out there. Huh? See, you never know. And here is, gee, what a comforting thought. I am ready. A lot of times people think they have to get ready. I got to get ready, I'm going on a trip. Got to get ready, I'm going on a trip. Huh? You have been made ready. You have been made righteous. You're ready to go. Well, I might be embarrassed the way that you're going to be lifting and what you're doing, but it has nothing to do with your going. You might be going up with a hatchet ready to slam someone alongside of the head, but then he'll just take you. I mean, you know, what are you doing with that hatchet? Oh. Has nothing to do with you going, though. How many are hearing this? Oh, I'd never do that. How many have thought during the week, man, this guy, someone ought to just put a... Oh, excuse me, Lord, I didn't mean that, but you thought it. Well, didn't you? Well, didn't you? Say amen, I did. Guilty as charged, but yet not guilty. You have no eternal woes. Are you hearing this? Praise God. Christ has suffered all for all of you. And you can go free. Now today you can just shake yourself and say, I am free. It's by what you say. It's by what you believe. Jesus has set you free. That's like being in jail and they open up the cell door and you're swinging back and forth. Oh, I wish I could get out of here. Oh, you swing it and bang your knuckles on the other side. Ouch! Oh, huh? Oh, somebody let me out of here, huh? Or a ball and chain, and the bracelet has been broken, and you say, boy, I wish, and you pick it up, and the chain is dragging behind you. Boy, I wish I could get rid of this ball and chain. Well, drop it. What are you carrying around for? He has set you free. What's that mean? Free in your mind. You ever have a tortured mind? I remember my mind was so tortured before I came to know Jesus in 9 months when I was going through a 9-month deliverance thing. I'm talking about being free. And then recognizing that you have been set free. I was like Paul. I wandered around for a couple of years. Only mine was a 9-month thing. Kind of crazy. I was so legal with myself, I could not believe that I was saved once and forever and for always. And so I carried around all these sins on my back and all balls and chains and cell doors and everything is carried around with me. Go into church after church trying to get better. Oh, that sounds good. And I go home. Oh, wow. Well, I'm going to do that then. I'm going to go home and I'm going to get myself sanctified by doing this and that and so on. I'm going to do this. You know what? I never did do it. And I come back with more things on me. And I'd listen to 14 radio programs and get so confused. Don't listen to 14 radio programs. You will get so confused. And read all these different things. All these different teachings that come up from the South. There must be down in the South, there must be about 100 different teachings on how to get to heaven. You start reading them, you're going to be so confused, you won't know which road to take. No, you won't. I know, I tried them all. It doesn't work. It's a free gift from Jesus Christ. But it was next, I found out in my walk, accepted. What a ransom. Who could equal such a ransom? From the guard that took him to the pit and the hits and the insults to the cross to the grave and hell and back again, Jesus did it all. Was it accepted? Is he in the grave? No. He is not in the grave. And you out there that have made 14 trips to Israel, why do you keep going over there looking in the tomb? He has risen. Start spending some of that money on folks that are needy. Going in there echoing your own self. Are you in here, Lord? Are you in here, Lord? And look in these travel magazines, you know. And they approach you and say, Pastor, if you can get 13 people to go, you and your wife can go free. I says, I wouldn't want to go with 13 miserable couples like that that run off. Just run off and spend all that money and not give it. People are needing funds all over. Oh, yes, we've been there several times. Understand, you're getting yours free. You don't get nothing free, folks. The only thing you get free is the salvation of the Lord. Gifts and things from God. People don't give you nothing free. You pay for it. Now, I'll get some letters because I know there's a lot of these tour things, and the pastor gets to be like a tour guide. Over here. Over here. And they actually get sick of these things, see? It's the truth. Oh, hey, I'm going to get some cards and letters, I know. They'll find something wrong, even with this message. I know it. Well, one thing they can't find anything wrong with, that's Jesus Christ in me. I know that. How do you know it? By faith. Every time I believe it, I feel them all over my whole body. That's why. But what a ransom. It was accepted. Hallelujah. In the beloved. Hallelujah. We are accepted in the beloved. Do you want a second proof of the acceptance? He took his only son to heaven. It says he is seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all the principalities, far above all the principalities, and it says all of the powers. High, and it also says that we are seated with him. Spiritually speaking, we are already hidden in Christ, in God, and experientially, we are sitting with him. Spiritually speaking, we can experience that exaltation, that power over all principalities and all powers. We have power over all of those by the blood of Christ, by the redemption through the blood. We have that power in the name of Jesus. Say amen. Well, does that mean that we can just claim things and we will never have anything happen to us? Well, Jesus was here. He suffered all these things. And you will suffer all these things as long as you are here. That's the way it is. But you're still saved, you're still justified, and you still have the power to believe, and nothing can happen to you that God doesn't allow. Now, isn't that a comfort? You mean God allowed this? Yes. And when you get rooted and grounded in love and start to believe that, then you can start to do something with what God has portioned out to you, and it'll all turn to good. No, I don't believe it. You get phone calls. You ever get a phone call and you can just tell right away the person is a whiner? Hello? Is Pastor Paul there? Hello? Hello? Huh? Yeah, now listen, you can talk to a whiner until the cows come home, and they don't come home unless you go get them anyway. You can talk to a whiner, let me tell you something, they will not receive. They even come to church, they even listen on the radio, and they are whining all the time. And unless the woman isn't a whiner, all the kids will be whiners just like the father or the mother. They'll be whiners. Did you know that? I'm going to make a tape sometime called The Whiner Family. They're not diners, they're whiners. They don't come to church to dine. They come to church to whine. Everything is wrong. Say amen. Well, it takes one to know one. Yeah, I did. I was a whiner at one time. Instead of a diner. But can you imagine heaven rejoicing over the final victory? Do you think that when the angels say amen, they say amen and mean it and say it loud? How do you suppose angels say amen? Well, to the best of what you can do, let's have an angelic amen.
Amen.
Well, you're not angels, but you're getting close. That was a beautiful amen, wasn't it? Want to try one more time?
Woo! Above all the principalities, above all the powers. Now let's look here at the effect of the ransom. Being justified, what's the effect of that? And God, help me to be very simple in this. There is no way of justification here on earth. Let's say on earth here, you're found guilty. You go into court, and some lawyer comes up, and they prove you. Well, you got to be proved a just man, don't you? He may even get pardoned, but his character is the same. His conscience still bothers him. But here's the wonder of the whole thing and the whole wonder of the gospel. We are already proved guilty. You don't go in and cop a plea. You don't go in and say, well, there was extenuating circumstances. No, when you come to Jesus Christ, you come guilty. You are guilty. And yet, you are justified. Well, doesn't one sort of nullify the other? When you know, when you go in guilty and you admit you're guilty, and then the judge says you are justified. No jury. And there's a whole jury standing there, sitting in their seats, you know what I mean? Sometimes that's churches are juries. And you go to get accepted into the church, and the jury sits there. And pastors, even when they go to get jobs, they have a jury watching them. Okay. Number 17, get up there. You imagine how heavy that is? You got a jury of people out there, huh? I mean, there's a lot of judges that sit in seats out there. Are you hearing this? We're talking to radio. But there's a lot of judges that sit out there, and they will judge the pastor. Praise God, we don't have that here. Go do God's work and just mind your own business, huh? Right? How many preachers are bound up with that? Well, okay, sure. Well, I'll tone it down. Not enough life. Look more alive up there. Could you get a haircut? Not I. I'm under grace. You're under grace. The only thing you're going to get when you come to this church is the grace of God, because that's all I know how to preach. I don't know anything. All I know is you're justified. Mean as you are sometimes. I'm talking to the radio audience, but I could be talking to you too. But let's look at the effect of this. Yes, we are justified, and the verdict is hell. What's the verdict? Hellfire. But with Christ, we're found not guilty. He snatches us right out of the fire. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not some. All of them. See, you have to know this so you can have peace for tomorrow. All of them. All of them. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You are justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified, come on. Justified freely by the grace of God. Satan hates that. Justified freely by the grace of God. Come on, Whiner. Freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. Justified freely by the grace of God. And justified freely by the grace of God. 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 Doesn't that do something for you? Go with your utility.